Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here with my lovely life, the Valkyrie. She's in the corner doing homework, so you probably won't hear anything from her. But that's her normal enthusiasm. And to my right, we got a special guest here. Someone I've been trying to get on the show since we were both drunkenly at one of our writing places get-togethers. What's up, everyone, who you are?
Hi, everybody. My name is Talar. I host a Celtic show on local cable access. It's called Center Court TV. Go look it up on Instagram. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to get right into it. Apparently, you threw a pen at your co-host.
All right. So, fun fact. I help host another podcast. It's called City of Champions podcast. And I got really heated about, I think we were talking about like LeBron or the Cavaliers once. And I threw a pen just like clear across the room, and it dodged my co-host, but I was just so pissed. It was some nonsense about when he was on the Cavs, like a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago.
But like, what could have gotten you so mad? Well, okay, well, this was LeBron 2 years ago, so was this the conference finals?
I don't know when it was. I just remember it happened. To be completely honest with you, I can't even remember what exactly it was. It might have been middle of the season. And me just saying something like, you know, Cleveland's not gonna make it, no one's listening to me, like, and I just got, or I make points that, like, will end up coming to fruition at the end of the season, and it happened with Cleveland or something, and I just got really pissed, and I was like, I told all of you that this was gonna happen, and no one listened to me, and then I just chopped it across the room. Probably what happened, that sounds about right.
Why do you hate LeBron? Okay, other than his normal, not having social skills and saying really dumb shit a lot. He's probably one of the best five players to ever played a game of basketball. I wouldn't say he's the best, but he's top five all time and definitely, I think, one or two in the league now.
Yeah. No. I mean, listen, I respect him as far as a basketball player, as far as a man off the court, okay, who has done a lot, charitable and community and things like that. And I respect the fact that, yes, he's talented and he's top three, you know, easily. He's one of the best players we've ever seen. Generational talent.
Oh, absolutely.
He's annoying. Like, I don't like guys who just get up and whine to the ref every 3 seconds. Like,
then how do you watch any basketball now?
It's remarkable. But he just whines just a little more. Better, I just know.
Only a little more?
A lot more. He just whines so much. Like, I can't. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. Tom Brady whines when he gets hit sometimes, but LeBron whines like 10 times more than that.
Well, it's different whining when you get hit.
Exactly.
And whining
like
when you
touched
get
touched in the helmet or something. But like, LeBron will get like tapped on the shoulder and he'll like
flail
and act like he broke his arm. Like, dude, get up. You're so dramatic.
That's one of the reasons why I don't like to watch basketball, is because it's so dramatic. It's I said that to him. I was like, it's like a soap opera. Like,
it's a reality TV.
They're like,
show.
Oh! There's like a whole saga going on. Like, I'm like, I can't.
Oh my god, do you remember?
Like real sports.
Do you remember? You'll appreciate this. Do you remember when Shaq was on the Lakers and like TNT was really going in on the NBA? And it was like, NBA, we know drama.
Yeah.
Like, we should have saw this coming.
Yeah, we should have. I mean, they have that partnership and the whole thing.
NBA, we know drama.
Oh, yeah. It's something.
How did you get into basketball anyway? Because what are you, 24?
25.
25.
I'm old now.
Oh, God. I met my wife at 25. This is back when I had a six-pack and, like, you know what I mean? I thought I kind of knew what fashion was. Now I'm just an old guy in chucks and cargo shorts.
And beer.
And beer.
Hold on, wait, ask that question again. I'm totally over my head.
Mind you, we haven't started really drinking yet.
Not
so
really.
Just throw it out there. How did you get into basketball?
I've always liked it. I don't know. I've always loved to play it. And then one day, the way I got into the Celtics was my mom was flipping channels back in 2008, which is the year they won.
Oh,
the year they won. It was like March of 08. And they're playing down in New Orleans, I'm going to say. And she was flipping channels, and it landed on the Celtics. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've never watched them before, because they've just been bad. Like, most of my life, they're bad. She's like, all right, we'll watch it. And so we left it on, and I just immediately fell in love with it. I was like, this is amazing. And my mom, this is actually a fun story, went into this story and told me all about how when she came to America, because my parents are from the Middle East, so she came to America, and they all, like, her, my grandma, my uncle, would huddle around the TV, my grandfather, and they would all watch the Celtics.
Yeah.
They didn't really know a lot of English, but they knew Larry Bird and his Celtics. And my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother, who spoke no English, no Armenian, she only spoke Turkish, would sit and pour herself some whiskey and watch Celtics basketball.
My man.
And so it's like this family ingrained thing at this point. We all in the family watch it. We're big basketball nuts. My grandfather, bless him, he's 92, but he used to cut out, as recent as a few, like a year or two ago, cut out the sports section from the LA Times that has the schedule for the day's NBA games. Nice. Put it in his pocket for the day and be like, this is what's on slate. And then when I would go there during the playoffs out in LA, you know, because every game is broadcast nationally during the playoffs, I would go and I would sit and watch it with them, and they would know who everyone is. They had opinions on people. They, like...
So you were around people who had, like, strong opinions on sports, or you had to have strong opinions on sports?
I mean, yeah, they have strong opinions on it, and then it's just something you just fall in love with. So I fell in love with so easily that you just develop your own strong opinions on it.
So you jumped in at a really good time. I was born in the 80s, so I remember, like, the really, really good times.
Mm.
And then I remember that long stretch of bad times. Like, yeah. I've gone through at least 8 Antoine Walker jerseys.
Oh, my God.
I'm a big Antoine Walker fan.
Do you have an Antoine Walker jersey?
I have an Antoine Walker jersey.
So you can wear it now again?
Yes. So people were making fun of me. They're like, oh, you can wear a Walker jersey again? And I was like, yeah, mine is old and beer and grease stained. So someone goes, you just get that? I'm like, look at this. Does it look like I just got this?
Probably older than you.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I remember, like, I have a Miami Heat Antoine Walker jersey.
Oh,
that's how much
wow.
of a fan I am. So, so for me, it was like when they actually got good, I was super happy. I actually have the DVD of when they won the finals.
Oh, you know,
that,
yeah.
That whole playoff run, I have all, like, I have a DVD of that. I watch it every so often just to watch the Lakers lose by 36.
I love that DVD. Oh, my God.
But, before we get into last year, Brad Stevens comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And completely, I wouldn't say change. It kind of revigorated, if I'm using the right word, the idea of Celtic basketball, team basketball, defense, selflessness. And it was great. And it was funny, one of the first things he did was traded Rondo. Got him out of here. Love Rondo, but he wasn't what we needed here. And everyone thought that he was like, you know, oh, what is he doing? Da-da-da-da. And everyone, like Jalen Rose says, if you're going to rebuild a team... You can't, if you're going to rebuild a house, you just can't leave a wall. You have to rebuild the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't bad. They competed, but they weren't good. But they still competed under Brad Stevens. The next year, they make the playoffs. I think they got beat in the first round. But they, again, still made it there. Then they were supposed to lose in the first round to Chicago, made it all the way to the conference finals. And then last year, it was like, okay, it was a fluke run. Then Gordon Hayward goes down. Again, what, 4 minutes away from making the NBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was last year.
Oh, last year.
So, I blame everything on Kyrie Irving.
Everything.
When he was, and you've watched a lot more basketball, watched a lot more Celtics basketball than I have. So you can correct me if I'm wrong when I say this. When he wasn't playing, the ball actually moved.
That's a lie.
It is?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Have you watched Terry Rozier play basketball?
Yeah, you know what? You got me there. You got me. He's kind of a black hole.
I am.
Have you noticed he doesn't bring the ball up? Like, ever. They know not to let him bring the ball up. And it was like, we got to keep him. I'm like, no.
The whole season, I was like, let Gordon Hayward be your point guard or just give the ball to Marcus Smart. Like, just do a point forward where Gordon Hayward off the bench is just bringing up the basketball. Because Gordon Hayward is like an underrated passer.
Yeah.
He sees the floor really well. Terry Rozier, I was advocating this whole entire year into the offseason, how much I dislike him and how much I want him off of my team. And I went out to LA for Summer League. I went to Vegas for Summer League, and I was out in LA with my friends who are big Laker fans. And I was just talking to them about, but they're NBA fans. Like, they're smart NBA fans. And I was talking to them about Rozier, and they're like, oh my God, like, if he ends up on the Lakers, I'm going to, like, jump off a cliff. Like, well, I hate that guy.
The running thing is, LaVell thought he was going to end up in Phoenix. And LaVell's a huge Phoenix Suns fan, which is weird. But yeah, early 90s. When, like, Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, mm-hmm. Kevin Johnston on the plane, it made sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But, like, now it's just, like, he has been suffering for the last, like, decade.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's bad now. It's terrible.
But he thought Rozier was going to Phoenix. And when he ended up in Charlotte, I was like, oh, well, we'll see how he does now. Because, like you said, like, he's not the point guard that – he's not even close to the point guard that Kemba Walker is.
No. God. Everyone – okay, here's my thing with Kemba Walker. No one really understands how good Kemba Walker is because he's been in Charlotte.
But you know the funny thing about that is, even when he was in Charlotte, he was still really good.
He was really good, but no one really knew how good. Like, he was an all-star and everything, but, you know, Kyrie's in Boston. You had, who else? Steph Curry's in the Bay Area. Like, Russell Westbrook gets a lot of coverage.
D'Angelo Russell was on a come-up last year.
Exactly. Kemba Walker's on a terrible team, and he's not getting a lot of coverage, and he's in a small market. So, he's not getting a lot of national love. No one really knows exactly how good he is, or no one cares. But you put him now here. You put him under Brad Stevens. You put him on a team that's going to be highlighted throughout the country. I think people are going to be very surprised as to how good he is.
So, talk about the small market teams, because I don't think people realize that even though, like, the NBA is a billion-dollar corporation, and these teams probably make at least $1 billion a year just from, like, marketing and things like that. Even a small market team. So explain to people what a small market team means for, like, an NBA player and, like, what it means for, like, television coverage.
So a small market team is someone like Memphis, Charlotte, New Orleans. You know, these cities you don't really hear much about. Your big market teams are your LA, Chicago, New York's, Boston's.
Yeah.
Boston, you can make a case kind of as, like, a mid-market, but I would go big market for Boston. So, as an NBA player, Oklahoma City, also small market. As an NBA player, when you get drafted, right, you don't get a say as to where you go. Zion is in New Orleans. It's a small market. It's a big talent. It doesn't matter as much anymore, kind of where you play, because everything is so interconnected, given technology and social media and everything.
Yeah.
But if you're... Like, Paul George wanted to go to L.A. at the end of the day, and that's where he ended up. Kawhi, Toronto is not a big market. Toronto is a small market. They won a title, but they're a small market. Yeah,
I thought because, like, you know, because everyone, like, Toronto is kind of one of those, it's a country, right? Toronto's a country, so.
Canada's a country. Toronto's a country. Toronto's a city. just leave the room.
Yeah. I'm going to walk away.
Toronto's a city in Canada.
I figured because it was like it's a bigger city and like people love going there and it's become such a big touristy place. Mm-hmm. I figured that it would be a bigger market too.
It's not a super small market. I would call it more like a mid-level market. It's getting bigger because it's the only team in the country basketball wise, and they just won a title. But to me, like, a small market, a big market team is one of those teams that can be bad, like, atrocious, but still get a boatload of attention. The Knicks.
Philadelphia.
They've been terrible forever. They get a boatload of attention. The Lakers, always been bad. Well, not always been bad, but when they've been bad the last 5-6 years, they get a ton of attention.
Yeah.
The Celtics, to a degree, they were bad for a while.
But I think a lot of the Celtic fans have to do with the fan base. Like, we are, the Celtic fans here, Boston fans in general, are incredibly emotional, to say the least.
They're very sport-oriented in New England. I've been, when I was just out in L.A., you know, there are people walking around, all different types of jerseys, all different types of everything, but it's more of a fashion statement out there. But out here, it's like, if you wear a jersey that's not a Boston jersey, you're going to probably get questioned.
Yeah.
No one cares out there.
No, it was totally, like I said, different. I have an Antoine Walker jersey. I walked in with a Miami Heat one. So you have a LeBron jersey? I'm like, it's number 8, Antoine Walker.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't, and it's funny, like, watching, like you said, like, if you walk around the wrong jersey, it's like, you're wearing a Jeter jersey?
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Or it's like, why are you wearing like a Toronto jersey? It just, it strikes people as weird because here you don't do that.
Yeah. Unless you actually like know this. If you know the sport, then it's like, okay, we get it. But it's not like, if you're just wearing it for fashion, then you're definitely going to get a side eye here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a Steph Curry t-shirt that I have with his number on the back of it because I like him as a player.
Yeah.
I don't wear it around that much because I don't feel like dealing with like all these questions. Because I'm a huge Celtics fan, but I don't feel like dealing with, oh, you're a bandwagon Golden State person. Like, no, that's not what it is.
Well, you can wear it now.
I can wear it now because, God, next year is going to be interesting for them.
Before we get into that, let's go and go back. Sorry, I got off topic. You were talking about small market teams and what it means for, especially for, like, free agency is a big deal with small market teams.
Yeah. Free agency with small market teams is very interesting because the CBA that the NBA has, their collective bargaining agreement, has been recently designed to allow a supermax, which is about upwards of $200 million, which is something Russell Westbrook had signed. Steph Curry had signed it. And it's designed to keep the player in the small market. But the player doesn't want to be in the small market. I think, Westbrook just got traded, and he has that supermax. John Wall might get traded. He has that supermax. Kawhi Leonard, I believe, was eligible for a supermax or something of that nature. He wanted out. The money isn't going to keep guys in small markets. I feel bad for small market teams because, like, Orlando, you know, no one pays attention to them. And, like, everyone's focused on the Sixers, the Celtics, the Knicks. The Bucks are a small market team. They have Giannis, but
market. But it's also funny that you get the Milwaukee Bucks, and their fans are diehard. I don't know if you probably remember, because you're a big sports person. So you remember when I think it was last year, the year before, when there was a website dedicated to keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a small market team, but the fans absolutely love their Wisconsin team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Packer fans?
Yeah.
Packer fans love... Love them.
They're a fan owned.
They are. They're each fan owns a share of the Packers.
Yeah. So this one of the reasons why like people are so passionate about it. And I think they're one of the few fans who can actually have a legitimate gripe when their team is bad.
Yes.
Because they actually have stake in what's going on.
Exactly. No, I completely agree with that. As far as like small markets and things, the NBA has a lot to figure out with small markets. It's not like a secret. Everyone kind of knows this. What do you do though? Like if you have a guy who wants to be in play in New York City, like the team might not be good, but they're offering him $150 million to play in New York City and live in New York City. I mean, and he's like a young guy. Like what are you going to do about it? Like in a few years, if Zion says... they have contractual control of him for, 7 years? If he says in 7 years, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. He wanted to go to the Knicks initially. He wanted to get drafted there. So if he says ultimately, I want to go to the Knicks, I want to play in New York City. I want to be there. I want to experience that lifestyle. He'll only be like 26 at the time, so he's still really young, making a lot of money, living there. I mean, that's an incredible place to live if you can afford it easily.
Yeah.
Like, he would be able to. Then it's like, what do you as a small market even do? What do we as New Orleans offer Zion that New York City can't?
Food?
New York City is a lot. I know, but like you can also make a case that New York's, there's a lot of food up there too. It's not the same, of course, but
all jokes aside, it's
the culture though. Like yeah. New Orleans though is like different, right? Like than
New York. But the thing is, I wonder whether or not the idea of New Orleans kind of wears off after a while, as opposed to New York. It's almost like every time the culture changes, New York changes.
Yeah.
With New Orleans, it's pretty much like Mardi Gras is going to be Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things are going to be the same. But I will say this. For the person who, small market teams, you've explained the curse. The one gift I will say with it is you don't have to worry about the extra celebrity. You know what I mean? So let's take Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows Atlanta is like a one bad season away. The Hawks are one bad season away from not being in Atlanta anymore. Like, their attendance is garbage.
Oh, it's absolutely awful.
So, But you get a guy who, like, let's say you get a guy who wants to stay in Atlanta, who's like, I'm here. Like, this is what I want to do. That person becomes a hero to that state or to that city. So it can be a good thing. But the problem is, you don't necessarily get the, like you said, you don't get the exposure. Mm-hmm. Giannis is a, you know, to coin a phrase, the Greek freak. He's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Look, we're not, we've never, I don't think we've ever, best way I've heard someone describe it is, he's Shaq with handle. Like, you know what I mean? Once he gets to a certain point, just move, because there's nothing you can do about it. Now, he's in a small market. I don't know how Giannis would have done if he was drafted to, like, New York or Brooklyn or the Lakers or something like that. But he was in a small market. He was given a chance to grow. And now, everyone loves him in Milwaukee. They love him in small markets. So it's a good thing when you're, like, you're starting off, and it's a good place for you to, like, kind of grow as a player mm-hmm. and as a person. And I think it would be silly for someone like Giannis to leave Milwaukee, where he's become like this local hero, this local celebrity. Other like on top of being like this national, oh no, international success.
Oh, absolutely international success.
So it's just it would be nice if they could figure something out with these small market teams to find a way to keep them there. Because who, at the end of the day, like Brooklyn, when everyone's like, oh, Kawhi and Durant are going to the Knicks. No, they're not. They're going to Brooklyn. No one wants to play in New York with James Dolan.
No.
Especially after that whole thing with Charles Oakley.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to be there. Madison Square Garden is going to make their money because it's Madison Square Garden. So, the Knicks could go 0-82. And next year, we're still going to see TNT games. We're still going to see the NBA on whatever channel it is. Then we're going to see the Knicks, even though they're bad.
Christmas Day games, they'll get it. Any game that falls on a holiday, they'll get it sold out. They'll be sold out all season, the tickets, and they'll be expensive tickets.
Yeah. Meanwhile, how many times do you see Anthony Davis in New Orleans on national TV? One of the best five players in the league. One of the most talented players we've seen in a long time. And he rarely gets national coverage
mm-hmm.
because he's in New Orleans, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a shame because that might have been one of the reasons why he wanted out.
Yeah, I mean, it's exposure, right? And, like, again, you can make the case for Kemba Walker. Kemba strikes me as a completely different guy. I love his personality. I'm really excited he's here. I think he's great. He seems like a very humble person who doesn't care about that stuff. But at the end of the day, you're an NBA All-Star. There's a part, a little, even if it's only, like, a really little part of you, it has to kind of think in the back of your head, like, hey, maybe I could go somewhere that's a little more, I would be seen a little more. People would respect my game a little more. Because they're seeing I can actually play.
Yeah. And again, and you're right. And that's the curse. Because it's like, when we all have egos. I don't care who you are. Everyone has an ego. And you look at someone like Kemba Walker, who might look at, let's say, Russell Westbrook. Averages a triple-double. But who knows if Kemba Walker's like, I'm better than him. I shoot a better percentage. I pass the ball better. I don't turn the ball over as much. He has the stats. So there has to be some little bit of him who might say, why am I not getting the exposure that he does? Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's bad. And what makes it even worse is you'll hear Kenny Smith, Jalen Rose, and all the people who know basketball on these channels talk about how good Kemba Walker was when he was in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. When I think he had like a 56-point game or something like that. He's had a few 50-point games last year.
He had a 40-point one against the Celtics. He just torched them.
No idea what you're talking about. No idea what you're talking about.
Don't remember that one.
Nah. I also don't remember the 2010 finals either. So
no, I don't remember that one at all. No idea what you're talking about.
So you get these. So it's, I wonder how much of it is ego when you're like, I'm done. Like, you know, because you love the game, but if you're in the NBA, for the most part, you love the game of basketball. We've also seen players who are just like, it's a job. I'm good at it, so I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone like Kemba Walker, you can see the passion when he plays. So I wonder how much ego comes into it when he's like, I want to play and get more exposure than I normally would.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You definitely have to wonder about it, and you have to think about, I mean, he came here because Brad Stevens, because Danny Ainge. It's a good organization. It's a good culture. The Celtics, top to bottom, their roster is interesting this year. I love Marcus Smart. Like, I would give my left arm for Marcus Smart. dude is awesome.
I feel a kindred spirit with him, because when I played basketball, I was like him in a sense that was like, if I'm on your team, you love me. But if you're playing against him, fuck that guy.
It's like a very Kevin Garnett type thing.
Yes.
Yes. You have a few guys like that. Draymond Green is like that.
Love Draymond Green.
Who else is like that?
Zach Randolph was like that.
Rasheed Wallace was like that.
Love Sheed.
You know, Ben Wallace was like that as well.
Charles Oakley.
You got a lot. Dennis Rodman was like that in the 90s. You have a lot of guys like that. Bill Laimbeer, the Pistons back in the 80s. He was like their guy who was just always constantly just knocking Michael Jordan's butt to the ground. But exactly. You know, I don't even have to explain it.
Yeah.
You always need a guy like that. And Marcus Smart to me plays basketball. So when I used to play basketball, I played a lot like Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Very defensive oriented. I love defense. So the way Marcus Smart plays basketball to me feels like the way you should play basketball.
Yeah. My favorite player in the league right now is Andre Iguodala.
Okay.
He's been my favorite player in the league for a long time. He plays really tough defense. He can score, but he only scores when he has to. He puts it all out in the court. Like, he was injured in the finals. You could see him limping, but he was like, "Nah, I'm going out there and I'm gonna play." And I love players like that. I love the players who do that. Like Marcus Smart was one of my favorite players in the Celtics last year. My favorite player was actually Aaron Baines.
Oh, I love him.
I loved Aaron Baines. But I understand, like, because when I played basketball 1,000 years ago, when I was defending Methuselah and Jesus, one of my favorite moments in basketball was in high school. We ran a box and one. For those who don't know, box and one is a zone defense where one person is specifically designated to guard one player. So I was the one. My coach was like, "Stay in his jersey." He goes, "I don't care if you're tired. If he scores, I'm taking you out." So I was the most annoying I've ever been in my life. Like, we would score, and as soon as I went to go take the ball out, I was in his jersey. Like, I had a hold on his shorts, and I was just as annoying as humanly possible. And I see Marcus Smart, I'm like, "My man." Like, I love it.
Be that pest, be that guy. And he's tough. You know, and he brings that idea. Last year, before this season happened, my favorite player on this, even partway through this season, my favorite player in the NBA was Kyrie Irving. For a while. I deserve that, absolutely. Listen, when he was in Cleveland, he had that flashy game, he had those handles, you know. And then you figured out his personality when he was here, and you're just like, "I want no part of you." But, so my new favorite player is Marcus Smart. And he was actually growing on me a lot at the end of last season anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't not love him. Like, he's amazing. But, this season, he's going to take on a really important role this season. Kind of like a captain, in a sense. The Celtics don't do official captains, but Marcus is kind of like their unofficial captain.
Yes.
He's their identity.
Yes, that'd be the best way to put it.
Without Marcus Smart, the Celtics are a little lost. And I think that this season you're going to see a lot. But you're going to see Jaylen Brown be really good defensively.
Oh, I can't. I think Jaylen Brown is everything that Andre Iguodala could have been.
Interesting.
Jaylen Brown wants to score. He wants to be the guy at the end of the game who's hitting that last bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this fearlessness to him that I love. When Kyrie Irving isn't on the floor, he shows that a lot more. Because when Kyrie Irving's there, he's like, "Okay, well, I'm not." It's Irving, Tatum, Horford, then me.
Mm-hmm.
But like when he's got the hot hand, it's like feed me. You know what I mean?
This kid is really talented. He's gonna have a heck of a year this year.
Yeah.
And the thing about Jaylen is that he hit a game winner in Utah a year or so ago when Kyrie was hurt. You remember that? And that was awesome. So he's definitely not afraid of the moment. And the thing about him is he is low-key very underrated defensively. He's really good, but I've heard a lot of people compare him to what Jeff Green could have been.
Ugh.
Because right? But Jeff Green had all the athleticism in the world, but KG would have to yell at him in practice to even get him to be assertive.
What did you say? He was like, I need him to be a little more of an asshole.
Yeah. And Jaylen Brown is already there. So it's just a matter of improving and being consistent with him. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Like, it's not like he doesn't think the earth is flat. He's a smart kid. We love Jaylen Brown. He's a smart young man.
Flat.
Oh, I can't.
Fucking crap. That's your guy, man.
Like, this is Massachusetts. You can't say that shit here. Like, it goes somewhere else. Don't do that here. There's, like, MIT, like, down the street. Like, don't do that.
MIT, Harvard. Like,
literally pick any other state. Don't do it here.
Go do that in Orlando.
Literally go somewhere. I don't know. Go somewhere else.
Don't do that here. His personality would fit perfect with the Heat.
Yeah, I could see it. Tim and Jimmy Butler would have been quite the combination.
I would pay money to be in the locker room watching them, like, just go at it.
God, that would implode. So, bottom line with the NBA this coming season is it's going to be really interesting because everyone is so spread out now.
It's been a while since we had the NBA like that, too.
I'm
like,
very excited about this.
It's almost like the old school, like, NBA jam days where it's like every team had at least two players. Mm-hmm. That could put up 20 on any given night, except the Knicks.
Yes. And I don't want people to forget that Gordon Hayward exists still.
He's going to have a big season, and I can't wait.
I'm excited that you agree with me on this, because so many people are like, you should have traded him last year, he's garbage. The dude's ankle was separated from his body. Can we talk about how severe this is?
Yeah.
This is a problem. Like, it takes you about a year. And to get into, like, normal walking, like, shape takes a while, right? Like, to be able to even put pressure on that ankle takes a long time. To be able to play against the top athletes in the world on a consistent basis, at least a year.
And then Paul George had a very similar injury. Yep. And he reached out to Hayward and said, it's going to take you a while to get to a point where you're comfortable again. And we saw flashes of it towards the end of the season. I think it was it Golden State where you had that, like, big, like, 30-point explosion?
Minnesota.
Was it Minnesota? Because it was like he was doing things he wouldn't normally do. And I remember there was one play where he went to the basket with, like, reckless abandonment and, like, dunked on. I was like, oh, thank you. This is what I want to see.
Flashes. It's mental. Yeah, it's mental, but it's also, like, the ankle has to, the explosiveness has to come back.
Yeah.
The muscles have to get stronger. I mean, I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but I've watched enough sports to know kind of the degree of each injury.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to, with an ACL, it's kind of the same thing. You have to give it a year to kind of, like, feel kind of back to where you were. And you're never fully what you were, but get close to it, at least.
Yeah, and then people forget that Gordon Hayward wasn't Blake Griffin in his prime.
No.
Like, you know, that wasn't his game, but, like, as you pointed out earlier in the show, he's an underrated passer.
He is very underrated.
Before he was before he signed with Boston, he was an underrated defender as well.
He was. Gordon Hayward was an all-star in the West, which, if you don't watch NBA basketball, being an all-star in the West is extremely difficult.
Especially at the small forward shooting guard position.
Coming from a small market in Utah.
Yes.
Where he was the star. And for Gordon Hayward to make that team was really something. And he's very athletic, you just don't see it.
Yeah.
He's actually very athletic. He can do a lot. And without Kyrie there this year, without Terry there this year, and it breaks my heart, but Al Horford's not there this year. And
I'm gonna miss him a lot. It hurt my heart to unfollow him.
I haven't done that yet. I can't bring myself to do it.
You know what it is? I'm a scorn lover.
Like, I love him so much. I think he's been great. On my show, all I would do is talk about how we respect Al Horford on this show, and we love him, and we think he's great. But, you know, you hurt me real bad, Al, first of all.
You know what's funny about that is I remember not the most recent playoffs, but the year before, mm-hmm. where every analyst was like, oh, no, Philadelphia's going to run all over him. Who are they going to guard Embiid? I'm like, you guys realize we have Al Horford,
yeah,
right? He's like, Embiid is so much stronger than Horford. I'm like, no, he's not.
No.
On any conceivable level.
He's not, but the problem is now they actually have him.
So yeah.
It's like, what do you do? You can throw Taco Fall at him and see what happens.
Oh, dear God.
Which, by the way, I was in Vegas for that, and I had like front row seats at Vegas. And Taco Fall is just unbelievably tall in person. I can't explain it. He's sitting on the bench. I have a picture. He's sitting on the bench. All and the guys he, are next to him. And his
knees are taller than you.
He looks like he's like a pro basketball player sitting with the freshman high school team. Like, that's how tall this guy is. It's ridiculous. And when he would check in, the crowd was going insane. Every time he checked into the game, they just wanted Taco to just touch the basketball. It was really something.
How is he, though? I've seen a few flashes, a few highlights, and when I've seen him rebounding, and even people don't understand that just because you're tall doesn't mean you can rebound.
No, it's a skill.
But, like, I've noticed his hands, like, he's got good hand coordination with trying to rebound the ball, so I'm like, okay, the Celtics definitely need that.
So, the thing about Taco is he does need to get stronger.
Oh, got it.
My hesitation with a guy that tall having to get stronger is it puts a lot of pressure then on his knees and on his legs. And big guys like that tend to have fractures in their feet. They tend to have knee problems because there's so much weight that they're putting on themselves. So, they need to tread kind of carefully there. But if he can develop, I mean, the Celtics need big guys, right? Like, you lost Allie, you lost Aaron Baines. Cantor's there now, which I'm excited to see that. I mean, as far as big guys go, Daniel Tice is there, but he's undersized. Taco's a good pickup, and he's still a training camp invite, so it's nothing set in stone. But I think they sound excited and that they want to develop him, and I think he has the skill set. And yeah, there's a picture of him with Carson Edwards, and Carson Edwards is tiny.
Yeah, he's like just above his hip.
It's like insane. That kid is awesome to watch, though. In person, especially, like, he's a fireball. He's really going to be something.
So, for the people who don't know who Taco Fall is, Taco Fall is 7'6", 310 pounds. So, to put that into perspective, Shaq was, in his prime, Shaq was 7 feet. Excuse me, not in his prime. When Shaq first got into the league, he was 7'1", 300 pounds. And Shaq was lean then.
Yeah.
So Taco Fall is 7'6", 310 pounds.
Yeah, Taco Fall's slim. If he puts on some muscle, he's going to be a problem. Like, and he just develops his game more.
Yeah. Like, how do you block a hook from a 7'6" guy?
Philadelphia threw a 7'4" guy on the court. And it actually kind of bothered him a little bit.
How many 7'4" guys do you have, though? You know what I mean?
That's true.
But you look at Giannis is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Giannis and Kevin Durant weigh exactly the same.
But they're long.
Yeah, but you look at Kevin Durant, it doesn't look like he's ever picked up a weight in his life.
Nope.
But you look at Giannis, who looks a little leaner, but he's like jacked, and he's incredibly strong. So he puts even like the slightest bit of muscle on him, and is he right out of college?
Who? Taco? Yeah.
So he's still incredibly young. So he hasn't even developed like his adult bones yet. You know what I mean? So who knows like how good he can be and how strong he can get?
Yeah, I mean, how much does Zion weigh? Do we know?
Over 9,000.
If something tells me that's not exactly the weight, but
Zion Williamson, the power of the internet, he is, Jesus Christ.
Zion Williamson is 284. He's 6'7", though. So, he's just ropes of muscle.
I wonder about him in New Orleans.
Because of the food.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that before on Twitter. Everyone's like, Zion's just going to get really, really, really fat, isn't he?
Yeah, but, like, you can look, like, I'm looking through the picture of him. Kid. Yeah, like, he's, like, legit, like, strong. He isn't, like, he has a grown person, like, physique.
He's built like an NFL player.
Which is incredibly scary.
He's, like, a tight end build. He's, like, a Gronkowski build.
Yeah.
This kid.
But he's actually, like, but he's super athletic, too, which is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how to throw his weight around. I wonder how it's going to work with him once he starts playing in the NBA, though. When he finds, like we get a guy like Draymond Green.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how to, like, handle someone like him who isn't as skilled yet. Or you get a guy like Zach Randolph, who has my favorite NBA quote of all time. When he was talking to Marcus Cousins, and Zach Randolph goes, "Oh, where I'm from, we bully the bullies."
So I like that.
So like, I wonder how he's gonna do with a guy like that, someone who's who can actually he's playing against kids essentially. Like, Zion Williams is a grown man playing against kids.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him in summer league before he got hurt, and he was just blocking shots and dunking on everyone. Like, he was really something at summer league before he got hurt. But him against LeBron is going to be interesting because they're the same type of body.
Yeah.
LeBron is also built like a tight end. Like, that's not...
LeBron's a fucking freak of nature. If LeBron's if we found out he was on steroids, is anybody going to be shocked?
Dwight Howard, by the way, who came and just hung out right next to me at summer league.
How did you not... Okay, I hate to admit this, and I don't think I've ever told anyone this. I'm a Dwight Howard fan.
I like Dwight Howard.
He bitches a lot, but I like Dwight Howard, and he's a staple. And every year, when I do my NBA draft, I pick Dwight Howard. 2 or 3 blocks, 10 plus rebounds, 15 points, shoots a good percentage. I'll draft him every year. I would love him in a Boston Celtics jersey, but it's like, I don't know,
the personality.
Yes.
So the thing about Dwight Howard is I do like Dwight. And I genuinely want him to kind of get back to... I don't know if he'll ever get back to what he was, but...
Yeah.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. 15 and 10 is a really good stat line.
Yeah.
Like, that's... A lot of people would sign a guy like that, like, easily.
Like, some of the greats are, like, 15 and 10.
Yeah. Dwight Howard came and stood next to me and was, you know, shaking hands with people. And Dwight Howard's arm is, like, the size of my torso. The man's physique... If you want to talk like that, Zion's built like a freak and LeBron is built like a freak, yeah. Dwight Howard is built like a Greek god. Like, that dude is a freak. And he's actually one of the nicest guys I saw at Summer League. He was just taking time to say hi to everybody, sign everything, take pictures with everyone, talk to people.
Yeah.
He has that reputation. He's a nice guy. So I don't want people to get that. That's kind of gotten lost the last few years.
I would say, and what's sad about it is, he has issues in, I don't think he had any issues in Washington, but someone came out and said that he had sex with a transgender person.
Transgender thing.
And he came out and said he wasn't gay. But other than that, for the last, like, 3 years, there hasn't really been any news reports about him. You know what I mean? Like, when he left Atlanta, there were some issues, but it was after the season ended. Mm-hmm. So it's like, fine. After the season ended, but he wasn't a distraction during the season. That's fine. When he was in, Charlotte, same thing. Wasn't a distraction during the year. Awesome. Washington, he got hurt. There wasn't really anything there.
Yeah.
But Dwight Howard strikes me as one of the people that I mentioned earlier who doesn't love the game of basketball. He's just really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a job for him. And he seems like he enjoys the celebrity more than he does the actual game of basketball. So he's grateful for the fans and the people who actually don't come up to him and go, fuck you, Dwight Howard, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it looks like he's appreciative of the people who, like, actually come to him with positive energy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dwight, his career just tanked after Orlando, man. And it's because of that back injury. That back injury really did a number on Dwight Howard, and he was never really able to get back to what he was, but, ever since leaving, he went to Houston right after LA, and he wasn't used properly in Houston.
No, he wanted to, like, post. That's not your game.
That's not his game, but he wanted it to be his game. Dwight Howard is a tremendous rebounder, and he wasn't really able... I don't think anywhere he's been, he's really been able to play the type of game he wants, but he's being utilized the way the coaches believe he should be.
Yeah. I didn't even know he got traded.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, he's not. He's a free agent right now.
Dwight Howard, a Wizard GM on dealing Dwight Howard. Quickest trade I've ever done.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even play last season, so
yeah,
not really. So, like, I get that. I don't know where Dwight Howard could end up. That's the thing. Like, the Celtics kind of make logical sense because he's a big guy, but Danny Ainge's whole thing this coming season is to have high-character guys in the locker room with strong, like, with personalities that are very coachable and easy to deal with. I don't think Dwight Howard necessarily fits that bill.
On no conceivable level. He'll probably end up in, like, Brooklyn or something like that. Brooklyn. Especially now with, he wouldn't end up in Brooklyn because they have James Lowe, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you make the case that he'll end up in, like, if Steven Adams gets traded somewhere in OKC, you make the case that Dwight Howard signs there because they're always looking to cut cap space. Does he... Who is... Oh, wait, no. LaMarcus Aldridge is in
San Antonio,
but who's their center? Aldridge is a power forward.
He's a quote-unquote center.
You can make the... Dwight Howard... You can make the case that Pop could really do, you know, some good with Dwight Howard. I mean, he's a coach to do it. Golden State.
Yeah. Somewhere where he can just... Steph can just throw the ball in the air.
Oh, yeah, and he just goes up and gets it.
Draymond Green, he can get a load off from not having to rebound and play defense on every center in the league anymore.
Yeah, you can... So, but the thing about Dwight Howard is that I wouldn't be surprised if Dwight Howard is a free agent until midseason.
Yeah. So, let's look. So, I just happened to be on was a basketball reference.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in Charlotte, it was 16 points a game, block and a half, 12 and a half rebounds. The season prior to that, it was 12.7 rebounds, 1.2 blocks, and 13.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
So even in his later years, he's never averaged... Last year, he averaged less than 10 rebounds, but again, he only played 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
So for his career, he's averaged at least 10 rebounds. Anybody with any team would take a guy who can give you 10 rebounds and 12 points a game.
Easily.
Yeah. And then, like I said, he'll give you a couple of blocks.
Yeah, I mean, he's very reliable in the statistical sense. It's just his personality that's just what's been deterring people. Unfortunately.
So I'm looking at it now. He was in, it was a year in Orlando, a year in Charlotte, a year in the Lake, in LA, a year in Atlanta, a year in Washington. So, like, you're starting to see a trend in how things are going with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting because Dwight Howard definitely is keeping up with his workouts. He's definitely still working on a lot of stuff. He never exactly turned into... He came into the league... When Dwight Howard was at his prime, the NBA was not a type of league where the big men were jump shooters.
Yeah.
They weren't there quite yet. So Dwight Howard never really has developed... He hasn't really developed that. So it kind of puts him in an interesting position with the big men across the league. He's more of like an Aaron Baines and a Kanter type, where he just...
Oh.
Not even Kanter type.
He's in Memphis.
What do you mean he's in Memphis?
Dwight Howard's in Memphis.
Having been traded to the Grizzlies early this month. Right, but I thought he got bought out, no? Or is he still there?
This was a couple days ago. So, who knows? He might. It would make sense for the Grizzlies to buy him out just so they can free cap space, because, you know...
you don't need
people are breaking down walls to go play in Memphis.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, you were saying.
No. I mean, I'm pretty much done with my rant.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. I hope he's gonna end up being one of those guys who's gonna be a Hall of Famer. He's got multiple defensive players of the year. He's led the league in rebounds. He's led the league in blocks. He's, you know what I mean. He took a bad Orlando team to the finals, so his legacy is secured. Hopefully, he didn't like spend all his money on nonsense, so he's fine for the. He should be fine except for his career, except he's got like 4,000 kids and. Dude, I don't get why NBA players just don't get a vasectomy like their rookie year. It's reversible, dog. Just do it.
Yeah, bro. I don't know, man. You need to teach like a course to these guys when they come in the league.
They do.
You should do it. Just sign up for it and be like, I will do this. For you.
If I could do that.
I will teach you, you're 19, sit down, let me talk to you about this.
For real. One of my favorites is they have one of these courses, and one of them, I don't know if the guy still teaches the course, but one of the things he says is, don't hit send. He goes, you may think that tweet, and you may think that Instagram post is a great idea when you're in the moment, but he goes, but I'm telling you, do not hit send.
Mm.
And every year, it's always something. Draymond Green accidentally sending a dick pic.
Oh, my God.
The NBA players were like, I was hacked. You weren't hacked.
No, you weren't.
You were not hacked. Shut up. Don't hit send. Stop it.
They're like, obnoxious. Some of them, like, I feel like there's always one guy a year who just messes up like this.
I wonder who was going to be this year.
Like, there's always one guy. You had your Draymond Green. There's always going to be someone who does it. They need to be kept in check. Kevin Durant had his burner account. That whole thing.
Oh, wasn't he tweeting?
Yeah, from another account, yeah. But it wasn't really him. And he was
defending himself.
Oh man, talking shit about Russell Westbrook.
There was Jerry Colangelo when he was GM of the Sixers.
Oh,
that was the funniest one.
He didn't let his wife take the blame for it too. I was like, this dude.
If I was his wife, I would be so pissed that you threw me under the bus. Oh my god. That was probably the funniest one, because like players are at like whatever, it's one thing. But for an executive to like sit there and like dude, you're like probably 50 something years old. Get it together.
How do you don't hit send? Yeah, Just stop.
Stop it. Now you gotta wonder every time you're on Instagram or Twitter, am I interacting with just a regular guy on the couch, or is this like some NBA player or executive who's just a burner account?
Let me tell you, when I have a strict rule with internet trolls and stuff like that. As soon as someone comes at me with any negativity, I just don't respond.
Oh, I don't respond to people really ever. I mean, if it's negative, no. If you have something like fun to say, you want to have like an actual conversation, sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, usually I just mind my business and I just move on with my day.
Yeah, I've said it before. I was like, I don't follow anybody on Twitter or Instagram that's going to make me mad.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't follow fuckboy45. I don't, I don't need that. If I even see someone retweet, I'm like, nope. I don't care if you're retweeting them just to talk about it. I don't even want to see that dude's face. Fuck you. But I'm like, this is funny. So if I ever make it big, my wife will be everywhere with me. Because I don't want to... Well, he was at this party like, no. I was with my wife. Fuck out of here. But we saw him. I'm like, no. You saw someone who looked like me. Did they have these tattoos? No, it wasn't fucking me. Fuck out of here. Like, let me tell you, man. You will never catch me in trouble. Unless it's Rosario Dawson or Ryan Reynolds. Anyway. Oh, man. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. Talar, tell everyone when they can reach you one more time.
At @Center_CourtTV or @CoagentT. You'll find me on Instagram, on Twitter, the whole thing. Or if you can find Old Man Wade on his page, just go through him. I'll be there somewhere.
Yeah. So
it's a complicated last name. It's fine.
I mean, it's just spell it out, man. Like,
no, it takes too long. Seriously,
it takes too long.
It's just too much pain in the ass.
It's like what, like 6 letters?
It's like 9 letters.
So what? We just never mind. Ignorant Americans.
I didn't say it. You said it.
I'm American as fuck. I can say that.